evening. I'd like to call to order the January 3rd, 2008 meeting of the Recreation Parks Commission. In the absence of Chair Winter and Vice Chair House, I would like to entertain a motion to elect a pro temp chair.
I will make a motion that Commissioner Soli serve as chair pro temp for the evening.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so let's move to the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic on which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chair Solu, roll call for this evening. Commissioner Mahan.
Present.
Commissioner Hale.
Here.
Commissioner Solu.
Present.
And Commissioner Munoz.
Present.
And let the record show that Chair Winter and Commissioner House are excused for tonight's evening.
Now we are moving into our public comment period. So if there are any members of the audience who wish to comment, now would be the appropriate time. You are welcome to step forward to the microphone. Please make sure that you tell us your name. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Michelle Leary. I'm here tonight on behalf of the Central Coast Women for Fisheries Incorporated. And we just wanted to remind you that we would like to put a statue out near the rock somewhere on the Target Rock side. We don't have a plan on the size of the statue. We're still looking for approval for that so we can start fundraising.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Seeing that no one else has stepped forward to the microphone at this time, I believe that we can close the public comment period. I don't believe there's any actions in regard to public comment. I believe we can discuss Ms. Leary's comments when we get into the discussion of Coleman Park. Is that correct?
That would be great.
Okay. And let's, we need to move to the approval of minutes for the December 6, 2007 meeting. Does anybody have any questions or changes?
If there's no changes, then I would make a motion to accept the minutes from the December 6th meeting for file.
I second the motion.
Okay. Then all in favor? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. Okay, if there are any announcements, now would be the time to make your announcements from the commission or the staff.
I have an announcement to make. Tonight, we've got a special treat for you. It's not on your agenda, but hopefully after the meeting, you can take some time to review the Dixon Halfley Dinner posters that we have asked the children from Kids Club to put together. There are kindergarten through fifth grade. So they're categorized by grade. They're displayed on the back of the room. And if you'd come by and see me, I have a ballot or a judging form for you to select one poster from each grade. And then once they're completed, I'll collect them. And we also have a category for an overall winner. And then each category will be awarded prizes at a later date. So take some time and we'll review those after tonight's meeting. Thank you.
Good evening, Commissioners. I do have an announcement. I wanted to remind you that we're going to be coming up on two vacancies on our Recreation and Parks Commission. The applications are available now for boards and commissions. For this board,
schedule for this evening and move item B1 ahead of all other business, because we do have people in the audience waiting to speak to us, and I think that would be nice.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. So,
motion. All in favor?
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, then, let's take B1 from the unfinished business. Continued presentation workshop on Coleman Embarcadero area and the capital improvement study.
Great, and I'm going to talk just a tiny bit about this before we get going. It's a little bit, unprecedented what we're doing tonight. But as you recall, we had a joint meeting with the Harbor Advisory Board last month, and we looked at some significant changes for the Coleman Park Rock area. And certainly at that meeting, it was very difficult, I think, for everybody there to kind of wrap their arms around what this could be and the possibilities out there. So what we've done, we've asked Mike Sherrod and Eileen Nygaard to come back. We work with RRM Design Group. And they've put together some conceptual designs or some conceptual ideas of how the arrangement of different facilities could work. They have a number of ideas. Again, nothing set in stone, but what our thoughts were is that by showing the commission these, it would give you a better idea of really what we're looking at or what the possibilities would be. I want to emphasize tonight, it's really just we're going to be sitting around a table. I would ask if everyone could speak one at a time, because we're going to try to pick up most of it on the mics. Maybe spend 20 to 25 minutes kind of looking at some of these concepts, asking questions. We're not asking for a decision tonight. We're just continuing to give you information. And then what I'd like to do when we leave the table and you go back up to your desks, I'd like to try to set a date for a meeting that the commission could do a field trip out to the area. I know Commissioner Solu has gone out a couple of times, as well as I think a couple of other commissioners. But as a group, we can make that a meeting, agendize it, or excuse me, it'll be a real meeting. We'll meet out there and take a look at the area, perhaps have Rick Algert, the harbor director, join us. And then we are, I believe, planning on another joint meeting, I think in February, with the Harbor Advisory Board to continue to look at this item. The other thing I wanted to talk about before we move on is Central Coast Women for Fisheries did write a letter. It was in our agenda packet a couple of months ago about their concept. And we had talked about the possibility of certainly weaving that statue into this project. What we may need to do, and we can certainly bring it back to our February meeting, even if we do have a joint meeting, is the possibility of the commission recommending the concept to the city council, and the city council then hopefully approving the concept of a statue in that area without the specifics about height and exact design, but we can show what other communities have done, and that way it will allow this nonprofit group to begin to raise money, because they're kind of waiting till they get a conceptual approval, and we're kind of waiting to figure out what we're doing, and I think both groups waiting, we're going to make no progress. So I think if we can conceptually say, yes, we like the idea, we think it's going to work, you know, obviously it's not going to be 95 feet tall, so we can recommend that to council, and I think council's going to embrace it, then they can move forward and progress on their fundraising. So we'll put that on the agenda for next meeting, and so that they can kind of get going on that if the commissioners feel like that's a good way to go. And other than that, I'd bring you down to the table and let's take a look. And you remember Eileen and Mike from RRM.
Thank you. walk you through our brainstorming idea of the class, the whole process of what we went through to kind of arrive at our, you know, our idea last time that we showed you. So when we start brainstorming, what we do first is kind of we take a look at what we know, and so that we can arrive at what's possible. So we do look at what are the opportunities of this area, what are the constraints of this area, what are the pieces that everyone desires, and how do we, it's like a puzzle. It's like, you know, how do we make these all fit together to make the full picture of what we want? So
some of those constraints, I mean, we've talked about the last meeting, kind of window in on what's really feasible in terms of trying to redevelop or move some capital improvement projects around.
So, yeah, and exactly. So, first of all, we look at what area do we have even to work with. We know that there's already, you know, there's city. The city has property in here to work with. The city has property over here to work with. They have some property here. There's this parking area out here. Even though the city owns this right out here, it's a potential because it's in the dune habitat area, and we're not sure if we're going to be able to use it or not.
Well, you can see popping through the trace, you can see the outline of the park for the ownerships in here to kind of put a framework around the areas we're looking at. And behind you, too, we brought some larger scale existing conditions aerial that has superimposed on it.
Going back over to this area here, you know, Harbor Walk just got is under construction. And we've got Mother's Beach here. We've got current parking for, you know, kayakers and such to get down to the beach. We, you know, that's something that I think everybody wants to maintain and keep that usable and accessible in that manner. So somehow that's going to work out. I don't know if we improve that or not, but that access is a given. That's somehow going to work. So we see this area somewhere in here. There'll be some sort of visitor serving access point because obviously there's parking here and there's the beach here, and that's something that, you know, we don't know what that's going to look like, but that will be there. Another kind of, I won't say it's a given, but we know that the harbor the harbor district needs a haul-out facility. And physically, there's only probably a couple places that will probably work. We'd like the idea of having it down here next to this building because it kind of makes sense visually and with the what depth of the water and all that.
When the Harbor Walk was originally conceived, too, developed with the knowledge of the boat haul out being located there. So there's actually, it was designed so that if that comes forward, it can be the haul out and the drive approach can be accommodated within the design without undoing what's been done. So that was planned for ahead of time.
So, not the good question.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you bring with you your list of the Harbor Department's needs?
I think I did.
Because I'd like to have those up so that I can see what their needs are when we have our discussion.
Sure. I think they're listed in our minutes of last.
Well, what I do have is, I don't have the list if you're talking about the bulleted chart that we had to fill out, but what I do have, though, was the one slide we included were the goals that were taken out of the Vision 2020 as well as the Waterfront Master Plan, which essentially was the same or similar list. So I do have that here. It's in small print, but I can read those off to you.
Okay, or I think she's right. They were in the minutes.
Then, of course, you know, people fish out here. There's the Harbor Walk. There's the pedestrian trail and the bike trail. Those are shown in here. And, of course, we don't want to inhibit any of that kind of recreation that's already existing. People love to park out here and watch the boats come and go. I do that, you know. We would like to see all those things continue on. And that's kind of what we're here for tonight, is to help think, what are the things that are important to us? What can really, how does this all fit together? So that's the overall kind of idea. Then, did you want to say anything more about that?
No, go ahead.
Then we blew these areas up so that we could look at them more closely. And so, we'll just kind of run real quickly through some of these ideas.
Do you want to start at the...
Do we want to start at the parking lot?
Near the rock, or would you like to start...
Let's start at the end there.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I have this lined up real well. Just like I say, this is kind of the process that we went through.
This is one of the iterations.
There's several. So, you know, we kind of explored the idea of having, I think we talked about this last time, having a majority of one use and maybe combinations of uses. So this one kind of demonstrates maybe a majority of boating use. It may be relocating the harbor office. Still, obviously, we need some sort of parking. And then maybe some sort of visitor serving, things like kayak rentals, or maybe there's some concession stands, something like that, that would kind of serve as the kind of the starting off point, or, you know, for the trail, or, you know, people who maybe there's a little picnic here, or maybe some
marine museum or
yeah.
Maritime museum as well.
Yeah.
Sorts of options we can look at.
Definitely see some sort of hub for the tourists who just want to come out there and see what's going on.
Correct. See the haul outs right here, and this is the parking lot, if I remember
right.
Right, all the way up to here.
Or there is an idea to have a haul out over
right.
here.
I thought that's what was discussed last meeting. The Harbor Commission seemed intent to have it as close as possible to the boating use space so that you could then work on the boats in that space right there.
There was an idea to either have it here or here, but like I say, we've got all these pieces. We've got to make them work, and we don't
There's
know.
The ability with the crawler, too, to have the haul out still mm-hmm. located by the intake and utilize the road to gain access to here and
mm-hmm.
out.
Yeah.
And this is the...
That's if that area changes to the boating use area.
If
right.
that area changes to the boating use.
And also... potential of this, you know, this boating facility area up here can be utilized more efficiently. Mm-hmm. We're hoping maybe that this area can be used as well. So it's just a combination of, like, if this can't go, well, maybe more of the facility has to be moved somewhere.
Can you tell me what the distance is from...
Of all places where we're making such an effort to try and make it more of a nature, mm-hmm. beautify... I mean, there's a space that seems... And again, I don't know enough about this, so I'm just throwing this out there. Over by Tidelands, that parking lot doesn't always seem to be that full. There aren't that many cars that park at that end where there is a boat launch. And I'm wondering, can that be used to do boat repair all the way at that other end of the Embarcadero?
That area is really pretty. It's pretty. It's not parked full all the time, but it's pretty heavily parked during... during different fishing seasons.
Mm-hmm. And I think that... I've launched boats there, I mean, a Zodiac's when it's small.
Yeah, and in order to have to haul out, I don't think that area would be suitable for a haul out.
Okay.
You'd have to double dip. I think one of the things I think that's kind of interesting, and I think it's a great topic for our joint meeting, is the concept of some people, I'm not going to say a lot, but certainly some people view the working on the boats and the haul out is really fascinating. And that would be an interesting discussion to have because I think the harbor director has much more information about that than I do. But I know in Ventura and I know in Santa Barbara it's often, you know, people, you know, hang out and watch it because it's so fascinating. So I certainly see, I do understand the conflict that that's a nature area and do we want that kind of, those kinds of activities. But the amount of industry that it really is might be pretty subtle. And that's an excellent discussion to have at that next meeting, I think.
Well, I do want to say that I made several trips down to the Rock, back out. I parked at that end and I walked, or I parked at that end and I walked, and I drove it different times of day. And I really had a good look at it. I had the opportunity today to walk it with Rick and talk to him a little bit. And in addition to that, I took the opportunity this afternoon to take all three of my sons down to Avila and take a look at their boatyard to see what I thought. And, you know, I said to Rick, you know, it's going to be a tough sell for me. I have to be honest, because I see this area where you come out here and you come around the outside of that building as your first clear, open shot at the Rock with no buildings, no trees, no permanent structures other than the Rock restroom in your view corridor. And it's huge. It really gives you that picture of the beauty of the rock right there. You come around, it's like, whoa, look at that. There she is in all of her glory. And you follow that road out, and you're looking at that rock. And I have to say, when you get over in this area, you start looking back, and this area where they want to put the, where the boatyard is suggested or proposed to be put, that area is your clear look back. Turn your, you're headed out to the rock, you turn your head left, and it's a clear look back straight down the bay to Los Osos and Diablo Point. And it's beautiful. So I went to the boatyard in Avila today to see what it was about. And I think that we have a unique situation with this placement. And let me tell you why I think that. Because most boatyards are not in a view corridor. Meaning to say that when somebody is passing by, driving by this way, they don't look through the boats. In Avila, this is the mountain, and the boatyard is backed up against the mountain. You're not looking through the boatyard out to the bay. You're not looking through the boatyard down the bay to Pismo Beach. So I see us as a totally unique situation. I see this park as a totally different being. I don't think that it can be compared to any other boatyard situation in Monterey or Ventura, and I've been to the Ventura boatyard. My dad worked there a couple of years, and so I spent a couple of summers there. So I went out and I asked Rick, I said, you know, this area where the Embarcadero comes out and comes through right there, there's a, like a gravel area, and then there's the old bathroom sits about right here somewhere. I said, what if you did your, is it possible basically to put the big lift here? And mind you, when I went out, and I have to get my cell phone because I made notes into my cell phone today when I was talking to some fishermen out at Avila. And I believe that they have a they have two lifts there. One is a permanent lift that's adjacent to the bait shop. It hangs off of the bait shop, and that is a 7-ton lift, or do I want to say 50,000? It's important to people, and somebody might say, well, tell them to park the car and get out and walk. That's why we put a boatyard in. Well, if you're 86 years old and you retired to Morro Bay and maybe you have oxygen, or maybe you're pushing your wife in a wheelchair, maybe you can't do that. And maybe your pleasure is going out for a Sunday drive. I mean, everybody has to be considered. So I see the need for a working boatyard. I asked Rick about this area here. Could it be done? He said possibly. It could possibly be done there. I said, I personally, you know, standing here, walking out here many times, there's an area where there's some pylons adjacent to where that road comes back. And I said, what if we gave you that area there and going back, and that area was used for kind of a staging area for boats that needed less work. They didn't have to have the engine pulled out and completely stripped, and, you know, the boats that possibly needed less work or that you wanted to showcase, like, you know, maybe they need just the barnacles stripped or something like that. And then we worked together to get this road paved and get you all the way back to the back, because really I drove back there too, and I see that they have a lot of the moving parts of a boatyard back there already, and I feel like we're kind of trying to reinvent the wheel here.
Is the last meeting the Harbor Commission mentioned it was too far of a space to go from?
You're right, because it's not paved.
That's the only reason.
Because if this huge giant hoist lifted a 100,000-pound boat out and tried to get down a sandy road, it would sink. But if the road were paved, that might change everything.
I think they're going to be requesting a 100-ton travel lift, but something that would be close to that, an 80-ton, may also work for them.
Well, let's go.
They're going to start off with that size, and I think if you go with it, if you're saying that a 100-ton or 80-ton lift is going to be a two-story structure, you're going to want to put that next to something that is going to be not out by itself.
Right. That's right.
But also, but close to to the structure that's on basically the south end of this development.
You're already
existing. Close to it. Yeah, and get onto that road as quick as you can. And that's why that particular area of the bay and that particular spot is ideal for this travel. Now, where they go from there, whether they make the turn up Coleman or they stay down Barcadero, something that I'll talk about.
Well, in addition to that, Mr. Algert and I talked, and he mentioned the very important need for the Coast Guard to be separated from the harbor office because of some of the terrorist activity that's occurred in our country over the last 10 years. There's a push to get them their own office, and the reason being is because they need to have secured information in case, God forbid, there's another attack on U.S. soil. They need to be able to hunker down and close down their facilities as far as securing it and have a self-contained, secure facility to work out of. Now, we're talking about the federal government, which means that basically if we don't pick a spot for them, they can come in and say, well, I know you liked this area for a kayak launch and a playground, but that's where we're putting our office and we're going to start building it whenever. I mean, it's the federal government and it's a, you know, security issue, so you know how they get. So it's something to consider. Is trying to look in all of this landscaping as to where we can fit in a Coast Guard office as well. And I think the further away from the rock, you know, I'm not sure really about that, but the easier time it might be to digest as far as, I don't really think anybody wants to see permanent structures out near the rock, but I don't know, I could be wrong, so.
It makes sense to continue from right here because there's that big building there, but, and then of course we already have the park there, which makes sense to keep it, but is this area big enough for what all the stuff that they want?
Evaluated to see if meet the requirements, the tree motions, the footprint that the uses would need to occupy.
It's not big enough for everything, but it's big enough to get some boats in there. So at Avila, they have enough space basically for 18 to 20 boats.
Yeah,
and their facility sits on less than an acre.
Yes, against the little mountain.
It sits, and I don't know how much less. I couldn't get anybody out there to pinpoint how large their facility was.
Well, if I could make a suggestion on exploring these areas today, just since we are looking in the future and we're brainstorming, why don't we look down toward the rock?
Boats in there. This could be a showcase area. There's some pylons. Now, these pylons, I think, are like over in here somewhere. I'm not sure. They're closer to this bathroom now. I was saying, how about like that area in there, and then it would have a road that would lead straight back.
We'd still have to have some kind of access for the
right.
So it would
Another issue with showcasing boats is who makes the decision. Where do you draw the line? As to
right,
the,
and
how
that
much
was
work is little enough work. How much work is
maybe
too much work.
Maybe that was the question. How long term? But you know, I don't live in Morro Bay, but my impression, I mean, I always hear Morro Bay is the working fishing village, mm-hmm. and so everybody wants to come out and see what's going on, and they also want to see the rock of nature. So it's like people come here to see all these things, and I come out here on a Sunday afternoon to drive out here and see what's going on. And I want to see all these things. They all attract me. So I think that's why you're here. You're really trying to consider how do we make all these things, how
work.
To make Morro Bay, you know, really fit its image and bring out all its jewels to the best we can. So anyway, so down here, we were looking at some, what we were thinking about here was you've got this massive parking area that people kind of get lost in. And you've got some great opportunities out here where people love to come out and then get down there near the water. People park here. People fish here. Let's see. So there's a couple things that we looked at. We looked at one thing was, you thought, well, there's a lot of space out here. Maybe we can utilize some of this area and make it into something a little bit more that can be more usable, but still retaining the functions that it currently has. So that's why we thought, well, maybe we can keep some parking still. Maybe we can bring some organized picnic and still maybe some enhanced fishing access. Maybe over here we can bring in, I know people are talking about having events out here in the parking lot. Maybe we can enhance those events with some picnicking. Maybe I heard about dog parks. Maybe that would be an area.
Because of the shape of the area, then it does afford different opportunities than the current Coleman Park, which is linear, narrow, and long. This has a different footprint we can play around with. It also provides a good opportunity to look at extending the boardwalk component of the Harbor Walk down toward Target Rock, and then take advantage of that as a circulation spine, and that could benefit, provide better access for fishing, for viewing, provide better access to accessible parking facilities on that side as well. So if somebody does have a mobility impairment, we can provide a good facility to get them out of their car if they want and onto an accessible surfacing to experience the bay perhaps a different way than they're doing now, maybe more interactive. And like Eileen mentioned, there's opportunities on the other side of the road if we capitalize on that to perhaps look at it. Could be potential for other activity to play, other activities such as dog parks or other low-impact uses. The underlying zoning for that area is really it's less active than I think it's 082, which is more passive, which is consistent with the uses in the area now.
So then again, like we were thinking, one way we could physically help with the parking situation is to use the area and actually physically neck down the entry to the parking lot, and thereby, you know, already creating a little bit of a solution to that mayhem in this area.
And this isn't the only concept. There's multiple versions of this. So this is just kind of
right. So and another, you know, so we're thinking about different, you know, ways. Maybe you have just passive parking all on one side. Maybe you have some, you know, recreation opportunities. There's tot lots to consider. Maybe you bring in some recreation opportunities over here as far as this, like, viewing areas. But, you know, I'm thinking it's all dirt right now. Maybe there's some, can we get grass to grow out there?
I don't know.
I don't think so. But I was thinking some way to have a cleaner spot for you to
the
clean off
your
feet.
The green doesn't necessarily mean grass.
Yeah.
Maybe, some fun stuff.
Yeah, right. Maybe to clean off your feet and get in your car without, you know, muddy feet again or something like that. Again, they're just exploring different ideas. And most of these we show a passive, but...
So since I've been down there several times, I forced my family to go with me again on New Year's Day. It was an offshore flow day. It was 74 degrees up at my house. Gorgeous day. And I thought, oh my God, it's offshore. Everybody in the car. So every time I went out there, I would get out of my car and I would walk almost up against the rock where you're, you know, not permitted to go any further. And there, I could not find the spot that was the wind-protected spot, which is okay, because, you know, that argument can be made for current Coleman Park. I mean, basically what it is the wind comes out of the north, it comes all the way from wherever, and it comes 200 miles up the beach to us. And so we're going to have the wind wherever we're at. But I think the shade is a huge factor.
Though the one area where we do get wind protection is on the next beach. Oh, that's where we take younger kids a lot, because that we know is sheltered from the wind. But that's facing straight south. It's not facing
And that's
east.
The states, right? Isn't that the states?
Yes, jurisdiction of the states.
You've got to realize one thing. You're also in the winter season.
We are in the winter. I agree.
These are short days.
I agree.
At 3 o'clock, and when we get a height for tourist season, whether it's June or July or even August, when the folks are coming in from the valley, it's going to be lighter, longer in this
area.
That. and that, and when it starts to drop, maybe this is the part that the type of usage doesn't allow it, and this part isn't active during that. And when it, and our parks generally close at dusk. So if it's a park that's closing at dusk, we're going to be filtering people out of this area just because of the activities and the shade, and they're going to be going into the sun areas. They're going to be filtering back into town and back into Tidelands and those kind of things. So they'll find the sun. So I don't think you're going to get a park that meets every need. So when it's shady here and you're looking for the sun, then maybe Tidelands Park on the other end of Barcanero is where you should be.
Maybe put some saunas in here, so then after you're done surfing, you can come into a nice sauna.
Oh, yeah.
And then the people...
Then it becomes a real water park down there.
And so we can all sauna.
The consideration...
Are there hot pools underneath?
The consideration of the sun should be part of the element.
Right.
So maybe that, you know, maybe the windy areas are the parking areas.
Right.
And the non... Maybe we, this down here below this elevated area is where the passive, maybe you're out of your car and you're coming down and you're doing fishing, or there's some benches here that have interpretive signs that you would have educate those who are finally getting out of their car. They're learning about the bay with an interpretive sign. So the elements of interpretive signs,
right,
handicap accessibility, are the type of elements that they'd be looking for to put into the park.
I think along here, too, and I know this is probably not a huge consideration, but it does happen. We need to consider falling rock.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know, I really don't... it's a rock. Rocks fall off of it. Rick has a great picture of a gigantic rock that fell into the parking lot. I mean, it's the size of this table.
Yeah, I've been out there in the morning surfing, before I was going surfing and stretching, and I heard a crack. I caught the last glimpse of a fairly large piece coming down over by the outlet.
So that would be a concern.
Definitely.
I mean, it's not an everyday concern, thank heavens, or none of us would go out there at all, but...
Then
there's got to be some kind of concern.
Something else that we're not showing, that we did show in this concept, is the idea of maybe even moving the road over to create more space on this size.
That's
so maybe,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what
that
the setback still needs to be,
nice.
But
maybe then you get more bay space, yeah. And that's the part that wants to see and wants to.
Yeah,
that's a really good idea.
Yeah, that resonates a lot too, plus you're not quite as much up against a rock.
Something that's important to look at, I think, is the current use of that area. This area, even though it's windy and even though it's shaded, is heavily used. Heavily used. And if we're going to be doing anything, anything to improve that area is going to improve the uses of it. So I think that that's something that we need to look at, whether we're going to call that Coleman Park or whether we're going to incorporate parts of Coleman Park back where it is or wherever we're going to move the boatyard. I think that overall we're looking at, you know, the entire area and what's best, and I think that any improvement out there is going to be beneficial. And then I also bring back when we are talking about it, it's kind of funny because we've got this concept of Coleman Park, and when you look at Coleman Park at this point, Coleman Park is a sand
dune,
and it's a very old restroom,
yeah,
and it's a parking area. So it's kind of an interesting concept in that, yes, it's called Coleman Park, but it's in all reality, it's not really a park, it's an area. So I think that, you know, let's keep that in mind. And I've been writing down some comments about, you know, things that have been said tonight that we'll bring back to the Harbor Advisory, to our joint meeting. You know, certainly some, of course, some valid issues.
But Andrew, when you say it's heavily used, do you mean this area is heavily used? Or this,
absolutely.
Right, so this makes much more sense, right, than what we just saw on the previous.
Because the whole area is used. Any one of these three
concepts.
Right. The area, oftentimes that area is parked full.
Yes.
Right, so this area is usually used for, the one underneath, this area is used for parking, and then parking here.
Some of it could be here. I mean, there's got to be some things you guys would do creatively to make that potentially less impactful.
Well, yeah,
and
you're right.
Let me just jump in really quick, Mike, and I promise I'll let you have it. And here's the beauty of having this and then going on a field trip, and that's why we switch those things around, because now I think we've got a concept of what could be, and when we go on our field trip, you know, we'll grab Rick and talk a little bit about places. And now, Mike, I'll throw it over to you.
I just wanted to say that you're right. There's really any number of ways the entire space can be designed. So the fun part is that there's a limited choices, so we can play around and we can work the different areas to see what is the right mix and the right combination and what seems to have the natural fit for the area that makes the most sense. So that's a process that we would look forward to going through with you all and get it all dialed in so it seems to work for everyone.
What kind of buffer would you want to use, if any, regarding some of the boating activity in the boat yard? Would there be a slatted chain link fence? Would there be shrubbery? Would it be open view? Because some of the areas, there's a concern that I've heard that, boy, it just wouldn't be pleasant to see something like that. And other folks would be fascinated with boating activities. Would there be some kind of a screening of, say, some of the boating repair?
Well, we'd have to work with Rick and see what, from an operational standpoint, what's required from a safety standpoint. There's other guidelines we're following that simply require certain things. So that's the minimum. And then beyond that, the interface between the active boat yard and the public could be designed in any number of ways, depending on what's the goal for that area. If the boat yard itself could be an interpretive area. You don't necessarily have to have just an interpretive station, but the ability to see how it works, how the boatyard functions might be interesting to some folks. So we might have certain areas where we can allow them to get close in view. Other ones, we might need to protect them and move them back from certain areas.
So you're saying maybe the interpretive signs would lend itself not only to an educating of elements of the bay, but also of the boating industry.
What's going on?
And then, so they would come through, maybe on the boardwalk, they would be a view, oh, you can see this part of the boating operation, and this is what they're doing, the kind of things they do in the boat yard.
It's like a storefront versus a warehouse, right?
It's compatible with the boardwalk, too. You've got the boardwalk going through, so that's the conveyance now to get you, you can take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. If we're done looking at these, I guess let's move back up. Does anybody have any more questions on these?
So we don't have to decide on
No, we're not. Tonight. There's no decision tonight. We just... more information, and then we'll schedule. What I want to do next is look at dates for a field trip.
Okay. Can these be available when we take our field trip?
Sure.
Absolutely. All right,
let's move back up. Maybe in a more stable format.
Chair Solu, I think the next thing we need to really talk about is to look at the people's availability for to schedule a meeting where we'll actually meet out at the site, and it will be a meeting open to the public, so we can have members of the public there, but it will actually be probably a special Recreation and Parks Commission meeting in order to meet at the site.
Okay. Yeah, I believe that would be sometime this month before the first week of February. Is that correct?
Yeah, our push is to have it... Well, actually, we have till February 7th.
Okay.
And I'm, obviously, we're fairly open. It's really up to the commissioners what day you'd like to pick. It would be great if we could... Obviously, we need to do it during the light, during the light of day.
So would a Saturday be okay for everyone?
We could do a Saturday.
We could do a Saturday a.m., and that might... How would that be for you, Joni?
Yeah.
A Saturday a.m.? Yeah, right, so that we're not holding our whole day up to get there. Saturday a.m. work for everybody here? The only one I don't know about would be Leba. Say 9 o'clock? What's it at 9 o'clock? Would 9 o'clock be okay?
And are you looking at a particular Saturday?
Everyone's like, 9 o'clock on a Saturday. Okay.
How about 11 when it's a little warmer?
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, don't you want to see what the weather is like out there?
Yeah.
On your 50th trip out there?
Between 9 and 11.
26th at 10 o'clock, and that's January. And then what we will do is we will advertise it as a regular meeting and do a field trip. And if there's any... any issues with that, I will let you know. But we'll keep you posted and let you know as soon as possible. And as
okay.
And as well on this agenda item, I just so if it's probably we should have him during the declaration of future agenda items, have the commission indicate that staff wants to bring back an item to talk about the Central Coast Women for Fisheries concept of a statue at a February meeting. Okay. Okay. So let's see now. We should move to new business. A1? Or shall I close this?
No, we're fine. We're ready to
do it. Okay.
We're ready.
I'm sorry, excuse me, ma'am?
Are you open for public comment?
The public comment period was at 5 o'clock. The meeting started at 5.
We're starting on new business A, announcements.
Our public comment portion was at 5 o'clock. The meeting begins at 5.
That was my
fault.
No, I'm sorry. Public comment is closed. We had a public comment period at 5 o'clock when the meeting started, and so...
Did you... were you on the AGP video at that time?
Our meeting starts at 5.
I just noticed that you moved from a table... over here in a conference and moved up to
Yes, it was all microphoned. It was all microphoned, yes.
Okay.
If I may, I told them the meeting started at 6, and I misinformed them, so okay. That's my fault there.
All right, thank you.
It's okay. Thank you, though, but we will be having another meeting February 7th, a joint meeting, and you'll be you'll be able to make public comment then at 5 p.m., scheduled at 5 p.m.
Do you guys have emails?
Uh-huh. It's all available through the... Thank you.
Item A1 is the date on the commissioner's workshop. On Saturday, February 23rd, we'll be having a commissioner's workshop at Hearst Castle. It starts at 8:15. It's an early morning, but I would highly encourage you to attend. It's going to be a fantastic event. We've been doing it for about 15 years or so. All the recreation parks departments in the county, as well as the county of San Luis and the state of California, all join to put on this workshop. This year, we're going to have a couple of different things that are happening. We've got a keynote speaker that's going to be coming. Her name is Nina Gordon, and she's the senior policy coordinator from California State Parks. And she's going to be talking specifically about another agenda item we have today, which is the California Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights. It really goes back to children getting outside, children playing, the problem of childhood obesity, which later turns into adult obesity. So it's a very, very important topic, and I hope that you're able to attend. I've got a couple commissioners that have indicated they're coming, and we would love to have a great showing from the city of Morro Bay. Interestingly enough, CPRS District 8, which runs from its California Parks and Recreation Society District 8, runs from Point Hueneme area up past Paso Robles, and all the commissioners in the district have been invited to this. We've extended it to all commissioners, so it should be really fantastic. So let me know as soon as possible, I would say in the next week, if you're able to go, so I can reserve a spot, because I'm sure we're going to be full. Also, we're taking two different tours this year. You can stay and take a tour of Hearst Castle, or go out and take a tour of Piedras Blancas Lighthouse. We'll be going inside, as well as taking a look at the elephant seals. So it's a great event, and I really hope that you're able to attend. We'll move on.
Okay, let's move on then to A2, the California Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights.
Chair Solu and commissioners, the California Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights was recognized by Governor Schwarzenegger in a proclamation that basically he's showing recognition and encouraging children's participation in the Outdoor Bill of Rights. And those are every child's opportunity to participate and accomplish 10 activities. And you can read them, but I'd like to say them just for those who are at home who don't have this packet. They are to discover California's past, splash in the water, Play in a Safe Place, Camp Under the Stars, Explore Nature, Learn to Swim, Play in a Team, Follow a Trail, looking for your child to do. We may not be able to accomplish all 10 within the existing programs. We're not asking for huge funding to develop a bunch of programs. Staff will try to identify programs that are available maybe outside of our agency that will fulfill these Bill of Rights. So we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but we're trying to bring the recognition to the community saying, hey, every child needs to get out. It's healthy. It's important. It's a good thing for the family and for the community as a whole. So given that, we'd like to put it back into the chair and ask the commission if they were willing for us to proceed with this California Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights, and if you're interested in staff coming back with a resolution.
Okay, are there any questions for Joe on this? Go ahead.
So at this point, Joe, we just need to make a motion to, not direct staff, but ask staff to come up with a draft.
Yes, what we would be doing, we're working with other agencies without the county, the SLOCAPRA, and all the other recreation and parks departments throughout the county are looking at this same concept. And as a unit throughout the county, we're bringing in resolutions. There'll be some boilerplate stuff that comes through this SLOCAPRA agency. So we'll be bringing in the same type of information that other commissioners throughout the county will be seeing and hopefully recognizing and wanting to adopt. And kind of it's a push, and we're one small element in the big picture. And I think that as we all join together, this simple concept could have a major impact. So to answer your question, yes, we are asking you to direct us to bring back a resolution for you to adopt.
Okay, and if we do adopt it, then what do we do with it? Are you going to roll it to the schools or give literature out to the kids saying these are the things you can do or not do under this?
What we're going to do a couple of things. What we'll probably end up doing also is take the resolution to City Council, because we'd like to get their backing, as are most of the other county and city agencies taking it to their ultimate governing board. We'll be doing a press release with it, and Joe referenced SLOCAPRA. It's basically the association of all the recreation and parks departments here in this county. We'll try to do something with the schools. At this point, we're not that quite that far. We were only as far as identifying things in each of our agencies that would fit into this Bill of Rights, and we certainly didn't want to create a whole new program to meet these, but we wanted to identify things that kids could do here in Morro Bay, and then let's say the YMCA offers something in Morro Bay that could meet these one or two of these things in the Bill of Rights, we would certainly underscore those things. So not a bad idea, though, certainly to take it to the schools.
Okay.
And you would be putting out a Bill of Rights similar to what's in our packet?
You're correct.
Any comments? I would entertain a motion then at this point. Somebody?
I'd like to make a motion to direct staff to draw up a draft of a California Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights. For Morro Bay, City of Morro Bay.
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, then. Moving on to a recommendation, A3, a recommendation for use of park in lieu funds. I want to make that clear.
Yes, not to be confused with parking in lieu funds. And as the commission knows, that we, after or when we do get approval of this at the commission level, we do take this to the city council for final approval. It seems like we've come before you in the last couple of years a number of times for use of park in lieu.
And that's really not a bad thing. Basically, as you're aware, when people do subdivisions in Morro Bay, even subdivide a parcel in one or two, from one parcel to one or two parcels, we end up getting funds in lieu of a parkland dedication. If there's a subdivision with less than 50 parcels, we get money in lieu of parkland dedication. Or if there was a subdivision with greater than 50 parcels, let's pick the Cloisters, then we would get parkland instead of park in lieu money. Basically, that's to satisfy the Quimby Act in California. And we're allowed to use that park in lieu money to create new parks, or in the case of Morro Bay, where we're not really creating new parks, we're allowed to use it to improve existing parks or make repairs in existing parks. And that's what we've been doing for the last few years. And you've really allowed us to do some fantastic things at City Park once those wood chips are in, and making some improvements, as well as putting some borders around some of the trees at City Park. What we'd like to do then is take the sand that we remove from City Park and take it down to Tidelands, because Tidelands is kind of unique in that it has the rubberized surfacing, which is ADA compliant, and it also has sand. So you have an area for the mobility limited on the rubberized surfacing, and you also have the sand. So we'll recycle some of that sand we're taking from City Park and put it down at Tidelands, because Tidelands needs some additional sand in the play area. Then we're also looking for some of this money to replace some of the and repair some of the rubberized surfacing at Tidelands. Tidelands was one of the first parks built in 1993 that had the rubberized surfacing, and it's held up pretty well, but there's some areas of deterioration that we need to repair, so we'd like to use some funds for that. And then lastly, we are looking, we see some of our trees, particularly our Monterey pines, really specifically our Monterey pines, continue to die out. We try to leave the trees into the very last moment until we feel that it becomes a health and safety problem, and then we remove trees. And so we're looking at some funds, approximately $6,000 for dead tree removal and stump grinding, and then putting in replacement trees, which we feel is very important. I will tell you that we ended up taking out a number four. It says removal of several dead trees from various parks, City, Del Mar, and Kaiser. We did remove our trees today from Del Mar Park. We had two eucalyptus trees that we felt were becoming unsafe, and they were removed today at Del Mar Park. So all in total, we're requesting that you allow us to use up to $31,000 of our park in lieu money for these projects. I will tell you that we had a balance of approximately $102,000. I believe we allocated approximately $46,000 to our Coleman Park Enhancement Plan, and this would be an additional $31,000, which would leave us $28,000-$29,000, and I'm not concerned about that. We do have the requirement to use these funds within 5 years. That they're gathered, so it's not that we can leave it in an account and you know end up with $1.5 million and do something fantastic with it. We have to use them. Sorry, but we have to use them. So we're hoping that you like this plan, and I'm happy to answer questions if you have them.
I have a quick question. Has there been any discussion about maybe adding some rubberized surface at Lila Kaiser instead of adding more wood chips?
We haven't at this point. Our park staff and actually the administration as well, we're not huge fans of the rubberized surfacing. It's pretty tough when you fall on it. The other problem with rubberized surfacing is extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. So at this point, no. If we did something different at Kaiser, it wouldn't be a total reconfiguration, but we'd have to look at kind of paths and raised paths, because then the chips would come over the rubberized surfing. So when we're doing that kind of thing and the next playground that we fool around with, whether wherever that might be, we would want to take a look at that at the get-go. And we've been pretty hesitant because it's so costly. Mm-hmm. Really, okay. So long answer, no.
Okay.
And I just want to be clear on this, or have everybody be clear on this. These funds do not come out of the general fund. This is a separate line item, a separate account.
You're correct. Yeah, it's absolutely not general fund. It's kind of nice because it relieves the general fund. These are generally costs that should be paid. And in most cities are paid by general fund. We just don't have it. We're not funded for that. Our parks budget, our recreation parks department budget can't handle it. So we're able to fund them through the park in lieu, but no, they're not general fund monies.
Okay, and I have another comment. When we're talking about trees, at each park, how many trees? Where are the trees? What types of trees are they? Are there any birds nesting in them currently? And what type of replacement trees are you putting in? How large are those trees, i.e. what size gallon pot are you putting in?
Those are a lot of questions. What I'll do is answer what I know. We have probably up to 6 trees. I don't have exactly how many trees in each park. I can tell you that City Park is probably 4 of those at this point, because the Monterey's at City Park. We've been taking out Monterey's at City Park for probably the last 10 years. We try to wait till the very last moment. Generally, we do between 15-gallon and, I think, 25-gallon box trees. The bigger the tree, oftentimes, the more difficult it is to have it survive. So the 15 gallons generally survive better, but they're smaller. So it takes a while for them to grow up. Generally, people are respective of trees, but we have had situations where the trees have been vandalized. So generally, we put in 15-gallon trees. We have been putting in New Zealand Christmas trees, Canary Island pines. For the most part, we've put in some cypress. What we try to do at each park is we have areas that particularly trees go in. If Del Mar Park is a good example, we created a redwood grove in the northeast corner by the creek, because redwoods like till after the roosting season that ends in spring. But if we have the money allocated, then we've got the money allocated. Obviously, we look at trees, whether or not we see birds nesting. But the city has passed a I don't think it was an ordinance, but a requirement to not trim after February or during February. So, again, we took out a couple in Del Mar today because they were certainly a safety hazard, and it's January at this point.
Right, and that trim period, I may be mistaken, was that no trimming or from February to November?
I think we're February to March, February to April, maybe February to June. We've got it back at the office.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to follow
that. And, of course,
that's
unless it's a health and safety issue.
Unless it's a health and safety issue.
Certainly, you don't want to have a tree that's dead fall over in a windstorm and not trim it or not take it out because it was the month of March.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So then any other questions for Andrea or staff, rather? Okay, then comments?
I do have one question. I had this conversation or this question when we were talking about the playground, just environmentally friendly options for playground material. In this case, we're talking about wood chips. Is there anything that we explore just to understand if there's any communities utilizing materials that are, less harmful on the environment or what have you?
Are you talking about surfacing in particular?
In this case, yes.
The only other one that we've looked at is the rubberized chips. And the situations that we've found with rubberized chips are very stinky. They are recycled. I know that the county of San Luis used some rubberized chips or got a couple of shipments of rubberized chips and had very difficult time because they were made from steel-belted radial tires, and so there were bits and pieces of steel even though they were tried to be removed. So at this point, the wood chips, and people have been fairly happy with the wood chips. There's pros and cons. It's difficult for the children to run through barefoot in the wood chips. So,
thanks.
And that's definitely a downside.
Any other questions or comments? Then at this point, I would look for a motion to approve. Where am I at? Sorry. To approve A3.
I'd like to make a motion to allocate the $31,000 in park in lieu of from the park in lieu of funds for the projects that staff has listed. Items 1, 2, 3, and 4.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None.
Yeah.
Okay, and now we are going to move to unfinished business. Seeing that we moved B1 up on the agenda, we'll move straight to B2, which is the Recreation and Parks Department status report.
And we, unfortunately, do not have a status report for you this month. My apologies, but we will bring that back to you.
Okay. And then written communications. which would be C1.
That item is C1, and there are no written communications or citizens' reports to bring to you at this meeting.
Okay, moving right along to D, reports, Youth Services Summary for October and November of 2007. Joe?
Chair Solili and Commission, I have reports D1 through D3. I will start with the Youth Services Participation Report. I won't read through all the classes, but I will give you a highlighted version and some of the major differences that I've pointed out and have talked with staff. Number one, ballroom dancing. Was 160 participants in the previous fiscal year, zero. They've discontinued the third Sunday dance at the community center. There's lack of participation and a difficulty in getting the band. So now they have their Wednesday dance here at the Vets Hall in the afternoon from 10 to 2, but not the Sunday dance. Kids in Motion was not offered this fiscal year. The Quilt Fever, which has been a big success, was not offered last year. It is offered this year. And another one that was not offered last year was Youth Yoga. And another difference would be about 900 participants at the Teen Center. And we feel that it's just a trend that the newness of the center is kind of, you know, the kids are kind of getting used to it, and they may be not going all the time because there's not an obligation to go every month. It's just a drop-in. We are getting quite a few participants on Monday morning because of the bell schedule with the high school, so we're still getting about 60-plus every Monday morning when school's in session. Softball in the season tournament. I think that some of the softball, due to the rain the previous year, the schedules were kind of off, so you see a fluctuation from the previous month and this month. It was up in October and down in November. So it has to do with the schedule and where it falls with the weather as well. Fencing, camp, and soccer. You see a slight drop in soccer from the previous fiscal year. And then the last report you have is for facilities and parks. And I know there's been a large discrepancy in the numbers because of the way it's been reported in our computer system, but I think that you'll see that it's kind of averaging out like we thought it would be. And a couple of major events for October would have been the Special Olympics, had a Tip-A-Cop event, and we also had about 250 people from Cal Poly come out. They had resident training. So we offered a facility here, and they came out and used the community center. And in November, again, the numbers are very similar for the grand totals from the previous fiscal year to this fiscal year. And we had several large programs. We had the Boy Scouts, had a Court of Honor. We had the Filipino Cultural Exchange Club come out and have another banquet. They've done this probably 6 or 7 times or more, which has been a very delightful program to have out. And again, the Quarter Club had their fashion show at the Morro Bay Community Center. So that concludes items D1, 2, and 3. I would open it up for questions and entertain a motion for accepting these for file.
Any questions for Joe?
Joe, on some of these that were not going to be brought back, was the junior golf one of them? I know you said there were no participants, no. But is that coming back?
Yeah, junior golf was a program that was offered through Sea Pines Golf Course, and it was it's a contract instructor class, so the instructor just chose not to. He offered the class, but not through our department. And that's how it is with the San Luis Blues baseball camp. That we have an instructor that just chooses not to come back for the summer. So they kind of sometimes they come and they go. I don't think I'm concerned at this point with a trend with many leaving because we, for instance, now we have youth yoga and we didn't have it before. So it's kind of a influx and outflux.
And I just have a question. When does the sign-ups for futsal come about?
We're still working on the details with the slow recreation as well as the YMCA.
Okay.
So that should be, I would imagine, late February, March-ish.
Okay. Somebody asked me. So.
Yeah, we're working on some details regarding our agreement with those two organizations, and hopefully we'll get the word out as soon as we know.
Good enough. So then I move that we accept items D1, 2, and 3 for file. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, finally we have a senior representative report, and seeing that Chair Winter is not here this evening, we have no report available.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. And are there any commissioner reports? Seeing that there are none, I move that we move on to E, public hearings. There are no public hearings tonight. Declaration of future agenda items. Shall we...
Go ahead.
I'd like to move that we bring back the Central Coast Women's for Fisheries statuary issue to a future meeting, possibly in February or March. Would that be far enough out? Possibly in February or March.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, and seeing if there are any other announcements or anything from our commissioners this evening? No? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
I second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Good evening.